Take your Bible and turn with me to this passage of Scripture, 1 John. It's almost the very end of your Bible. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. This morning I want to talk with you about what it means to have communion. Not just communion around the Lord's table, but this fellowship that God calls us to. In the Scripture, the Greek term for it is koinonia. And koinonia is translated always, or if not always, almost always, with the word fellowship in the Bible. But English words change. They change with their meaning. They change with their emphasis over the years, as does all language. And so for most of us, the idea of fellowship has a whole lot more to do with getting together, say, in the fellowship hall with food than it does the biblical meaning of fellowship. The word fellowship in the Greek carries much more meaning than simply a handshake or a hug or getting together around the table for food or any of those kinds of things. It really means being joined together to a very deep level with a very common purpose. It means traveling together in the same direction, not only by virtue of the way we're going, but the intensity in which we're going. And so when the Word of God speaks of fellowship, please read it with the depth of meaning that it has. It's not just talking about getting along together. It's talking about moving along together toward the very kingdom of God. So 1 John chapter 1. And verse 7 has these words there. And in fact, I want you to read them with me. I put them on the screen. I want you to have them in your own copy of God's Word. It's always important to have God's Word with you and to be reading it. Let your eyes meditate upon it as well as your heart. But I put it on the screen because I want us to read it together. It reads like this. If we walk in the light, read it with me. If we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Man, that is a deep, deep verse. Because if you notice, it's talking about our walk with Jesus, our fellowship with Him most of all. If we walk, go in the same direction with Him, if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. This is important. And do you notice how that correlates then with the forgiveness, the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from sin? And it's talking about this direction and this walk of a mutual discipleship, this walk of camaraderie, this walk of koinonia that is part of the very heart and plan of God to bring us to maturity in the body of Christ. One of the places, and we talked last week about the Word of God and what it is to us, and then that very human tendency to deflect it, to detour around it, to ignore it sometimes. And one of the places that we tend to sometimes wiggle out of the truth of Scripture on a very personal level is in our understanding and our knowledge of what the meaning of church is and what it means to be the church. And so this morning, we're celebrating together this act of being the church. We're celebrating communion, the Lord's Supper. And when we have the Lord's Supper together, often we emphasize its meaning in this way because it's so directly pointed to within the Scripture. And that is, it signifies the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus and His soon coming again. And so I don't know that we ever have the Lord's Supper without that emphasis. But there is another hugely important emphasis of the Lord's Supper that I must confess, as your pastor, I probably have not emphasized enough. And it's probably true in most every church in our era and in our day. And that is that communion is about being the church. It is about being together in one accord in our understanding of what Jesus has done for us, and in our giving our hearts and our lives to Him, and in what God has called us together to be. So often that is the case, that the church has often celebrated communion with a common cup and then celebrated having had communion with a common cold. Just think of that for a little while. But we haven't done that so much in Baptist churches in a long time. We have the individual little cups and the little broken bread already. And maybe that too much emphasizes how we are separated from one another, so that we need to focus intentionally and think deeply on what this really means about us being one. So Jesus instituted it with the disciples as He gathered them together. And then He also, as the Apostle Paul talks about it to the church in Corinthians, He emphasizes it to that church at Corinth. When you gather together, do it in this way. We need to understand again God's call upon us as a church, not as a building or as an institution, but as the body of Christ brought together to grow into the maturity in our walk and in our fellowship into the image of Christ. And in that fellowship, in that having been joined togetherness, is where we find the joy and the essence of Jesus, His Son, cleansing us from all sin. It's a little different emphasis, but I am absolutely convinced it is an important one. Will you read this with me again? Everybody reading together. If we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So what does it mean to be the body of Christ? I'm going to just list four things this morning that are indicated as part of being the church, the body of Christ, as walking in fellowship with one another and walking in fellowship with Jesus. And then the first thing is simply this. In the body of Christ, we are dependent on one another. We're dependent on one another. Nobody likes to think of themselves as dependent, and yet we are. We are, first of all, dependent upon God, right? I mean, that's an easy one. Yes, I can let myself go to that extent. I am dependent upon God. He holds my life within His hand. He holds my blessing within His hand. I'm dependent upon God. So we can all pretty easily admit that one and even embrace it to an extent, although we still struggle with it. That is the struggle of carnality and the struggle of sin. I'm going to do it my way rather than I'm going to let God lead me and do it His way. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Turn there with me, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The entire chapter really deals with this concept. I want you to look with me at verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 17. Just to get a taste. And you go home and read more of it during the week. I could begin with verse 14 where it says, the body is not one member but many. I could go to verse 12 where it says, for even as the body is one, yet has many members. And you'll recognize that he's calling the church, the body of Christ, and he is then exampling it by talking about a human body. And in verse 17, just to take an example of that, he says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He has desired. And though no one likes to think of themselves as dependent, we are dependent upon one another in the body of Christ. The Scripture makes that abundantly clear. Every one of us is unique. We have unique gifts and unique abilities. None of us possesses every gift and ability. You cannot do some of the things that I can do. I certainly cannot do some of the things you can do. Each of us has a gift given by God, and it is unique. But we are all one and built then for one another. We're dependent on one another for growth and maturity. That is, if we are to grow and mature in Christ, God has called us together to bring about that growth and maturity in one another. The Old Testament would say we are like iron which sharpens iron. And we sometimes lose that in the modern church and within our discipline of the church, because we talk about independence so much. And our nation, it puts this emphasis upon independence, and it puts this emphasis upon every individual, sometimes to the neglect of the fact that as individuals we're very little or nothing without all of us together. Together we are the body of Christ. We're His church. One has one gift, one has a different gift. One plays one part, another a different part, but all the parts are needed for health and success of the body. So I want you to thank God for your position, but I want you also to thank God for the position of everyone else. That is to look and say, God, I want to thank you for my Sunday school teacher and my pastor. Those are positions you placed within the body, and I want to thank you. You've called me to be essential to the body too. And therefore, I recognize that we are dependent upon one another. Not only are we dependent for growth and strength upon one another, but we are interdependent for health and for wholeness. And by interdependent, I'm just really putting the emphasis upon the fact that we are dependent, that our health is dependent. And let me put it in this way. One, I think, would be, at least for this morning, let's think of the first one as very positive. That is, we all add to each other for growth and for strength. It is our interaction with one another, our spurring each other on, we'll talk about it a little more, that brings us to strength and wholeness. But we are also interdependent in health. I guess I need a volunteer. What I'd like to do is I have a lighter here, and I would like somebody to come up and let me set their... Now listen, it's a small thing. Only the big toe on your right foot on fire. Could I have a... Listen, you're going to be able, because your big toe on your right foot, it's a little bitty part of you, right? And so it's not going to affect anything else. Can I get a volunteer for that? Brother... Sister? And I can't, because you recognize with me that if one part of the body hurts, the whole part of the body hurts. And that not only is true in the sense of the hurt that the world puts upon the body so that we are to gather around and bring healing and help to one another, but it also, and this is hugely important, it has to do with how we treat one another and how we respect one another and are thankful for one another. In fact, one of the issues that the church has always dealt with, and I'm talking about the church forever, Paul addresses in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 15, where he says, if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. And he's talking to the church. And I think sometimes we can forget that interdependence, so that our entire focus needs to be how we are building and helping one another to grow in grace, and we are very, very careful that we are not lighting the big toe of the body of Christ on fire thinking it won't hurt anything else. Now, not only are we dependent upon one another as a body of Christ, but we are also... We are also accountable to one another. It's a new season of American Idol. Probably a bad name altogether, American Idol, isn't it? But I don't know if any of you watch this week and see you can't do nothing with your pants on the ground? I mean, yeah. the talk of everybody. Pants on the ground. Go to YouTube, you can see it again. Pants on the ground. It might be a choir anthem, Jonathan. I'm not sure. Pants on the ground. Yeah, the hat turned sideways, pants on the ground. But you know what I got was the fella that, if you watched it all, there was this fella that came in, and they interviewed him before he went up before the judges, and he says, you know, what I'm here for is I know these judges are professional, I know they're, and they're going to give me constructive criticism. And then when they tried to give constructive criticism, they had to bleep every other word the guy used. Did you see that? I can't believe, oh, no, nothing, da, 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 da. Well, you know, often we all are that way. We open ourselves up saying we want to grow, and yet we really don't handle that very well. Matthew 18:15 says, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. Matthew 18:15. Too often today, we envision the members of the church as both independent and somehow unaccountable. But that's never been God's instruction. Instead, we are to be like iron sharpening iron, as Proverbs 27:17 says. We are to contribute to one another as brothers and sisters, lovingly sometimes confronting each other. We are not to silently overlook sin when it is hurting a brother or each other. We are accountable to one another, building each other up in love. Read this with me again. Well, no, we don't have to read this one together. Just note it. But then there's another, it's Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And you know, in church, in the modern church, too often we've come to a place where we see ourselves as so independent, one, we don't want anybody telling us how to do anything. And we both fear offending to the point that we do not help, and we will be offended very easily to the point that no one can help us. We'll look at that more later at a different time, but just simply see that God's plan for the church is that we be accountable in grace and in love to one another. Thirdly, the body of Christ, in the body of Christ, we are obligated to one another. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God hath beforehand prepared for those that we would walk in them. Wow. So when God called us, He called us to ministry. He called us to interaction in the ministry of God with one another and by one another out into the world. Huge thing. Big thing. And when He calls us to be the church, the local church together, again, He moves us from this interdependence to this means of interdependence and this dependence upon one another in which we are then obligated to one another. Again, tough thing in our world and in our day, even in marriages, we stand before God and before people and we commit to one another and we say we're joining together to become one and all of those kinds of things. And yet, one of the hardest things to deal with in marriage, isn't it, is that whole putting my personality aside so that instead of I and you, it becomes us and we. That's difficult, isn't it? And yet God calls us within the church to do the very same thing that He calls marriage to be. And you will recognize with me often when the Bible speaks of the church, it speaks of it in terms of a marriage. We are the bride of Christ. It speaks of us being united with Him in one. And even in Ephesians chapter 4 and 5, where it talks about the body of Christ and husbands and wives and all of those kinds of things, it gets down to the middle of that of husband and wives, and it says, it's a great mystery, but I'm speaking to you of the, you know what it says? The church. He's really talking about the church. And so the body of Christ means we're obligated, each of us, to each other. Let me tell you how that works, and we're not hit all of it, but one of it is that we are to encourage one another towards spiritual maturity. That's God's call. Now, turn with me to Hebrews. Hebrews. This is the book that is used by every wife to get a cup of coffee because it's God's word that says Hebrews, right? Yeah. Old joke, bad joke, but hey. Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 24. Verse 23 kind of begins the paragraph a little bit. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. That's an obligation that we have to one another, to stimulate and to encourage one another towards spiritual maturity. Mutual discipleship, disciple building. It's an obligation we have to each other. Now, without taking much time, let me run through others. We have an obligation. Hold your finger there, by the way. We're coming right back to it. We have an obligation to confront doctrinal integrity, or the lack of it. 1 John 4:1, we began with that encouraging verse of fellowship, but in that same letter in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." And you know, when the Bible confronts heresy, it doesn't do it with merely the leaders of the church, but it tells the church to confront heresy. So we're obligated to one another to confront, to deal with, to bring about, to make sure of doctrinal integrity. Third obligation that you and I have to one another as members of the body of Christ, and that is to join together in worship. I told you to hold Hebrews. So in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, look what it says an obligation is in the church. Not forsaking your own assembling together. Now, it's honest. As is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So the Bible says there's a clear obligation to encourage one another in our growth and maturity and discipleship, to walk in spiritual integrity together in doctrine, and also to encourage one another by being together often, regularly, in corporate worship. And we argue about whether, oh, you have to go to church to be a Christian, you have to do this or that or the other. Man, that's nuance that the Bible never gets to. It just takes for granted. If you know Jesus, you're going to worship him. And if you have been reconciled with Jesus, you will be reconciled and work for reconciliation with brothers. And you will join together then in this koinonia fellowship. That's what it's all about. Fourthly, the body of Christ, we're not only obligated to one another, but we are to be submissive and submitted to one another. Boy, that's a hard one. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, before it gets into husbands and wives and children and parents and employees and employers, has this verse, 5:21. In fact, it is the controlling verse of everything else, that which goes before and really that which comes after. And the verse simply says, submit yourselves one to the other. Man, if we don't like to be dependent, we really, and by we, I'm talking about humanity. We really don't like to be submissive. Preacher, you just can leave that word at home. I just don't want to even hear that word. It makes me feel like you think I'm a slave. Well, you know, I don't, and yet, what does the Apostle Paul say? Talk about himself. Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ. Man, the chief sin of all sins, the heart of sin, is rebellion against God. And so the chief relational issue with God is submission. But this verse calls for mutual submission in the church and at home to leaders and in exercising leadership. Submission to one another. It's a difficult call, often deflected or ignored or explained away, and yet it is an obligation that God places upon us. And it's essential to be whole and mature and for victory in the church and in our personal walk. Now, what does that mean? Well, if we put it just strictly on quoting scripture verses, it looks like this simply, and that is looking toward the will of God and the needs of the body. The church is never ever, that is in the heart of God, the church is never about getting what anybody wants. It's about discovering what is the will of God. We do that congregationally, but the point is to figure out, God, what is it you're wanting and what is it you would have us to do and where to go? And then in the process of that, realizing that the elevating the needs of the body of Christ is what then meets the needs of every individual in the body of Christ. Secondly, and you will know this passage, this quote, and that is we're to see others more important than ourselves. Seeing others as valued and essential to the body, that is realizing that everybody has a part, everybody has a place, and therefore, you are essential to me, I am essential to you, and we are essential to one another in the body. And then we are together working. We are both the work of Christ and working for Him. That's the mutuality of the church. And I call your attention to that for this reason this morning, or at least the two dovetailed together perfectly, that today as you come and you come to the table of the Lord, I don't want you to think about the little cup in your hand. I want you to think of the wholeness of the bottle of Welch's from which we poured it. I don't want you to think entirely of the broken body of Christ, but of the wholeness of the body, which is the body of Christ, the church. I want us to contemplate deeply how we are obligated and interdependent, and how we should be thankful and submissive to and for one another. And as you take it, not merely to think of some individual sin which might be hindering your relationship between you and the Lord, but of our mutuality together, and how God would have us be bound in His love and koinonia. For we are the body of Christ, the church of the living God. Will you bow with me as we pray? Father, I thank You for the Word which is Yours to us today, and the wonderful meaning it will have as we now practice together communion. Not merely individual communion with You, but the communion of the body of Jesus with Jesus, the head of the body. Help us to relate now in our prayers and in our heart, one with the other. Help us to join together, realizing that as we take this body and blood, we are joining one with the other in fellowship. Guide and direct us, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.